The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. Now, before we move on, I'd like to tell you about our upcoming National Bible Conference. It is a great experience every year, and we would love to see you there. You can find out more about that by going to faithalone.org and clicking on Events. You can even register right there on the site. We look forward to seeing you there. We're currently in a series that we're calling The 10 Plagues of Egypt, and we're exploring that very interesting subject with special guest David Renfro. We're picking up in this series on part 7, where we look at the 6th plague, which is boils. So, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean, and I'm in the studio here with Bob.
Hi, hello.
Bob.
Hello, Sean.
And we're here with David Renfro. Hi, David. And we're going over the plagues of Egypt. We've gone over how many plagues now? We've gone over 5 plagues. We're about to do the 6th plague.
It's all boiling over.
It's all boiling over. That's right. Very good. And that's a funny joke because the 6th plague is...
Boils.
Here's what... It's in Exodus chapter 9. And
what is a boil, by the way? It's like a huge pimple.
Is it like a huge pimple? Big, pussy kind of pimple? I'm not sure.
David knows.
Let me make a couple of points here before we get started on this. Number one, this is the 2nd plague where there is no confrontation with Pharaoh. It just happens.
Oh, this is the end of the 2nd of 3 cycles.
This is the end of the 2nd group of plagues. The Lord, verse 8 of chapter 9, take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. This is to visually demonstrate that it came from heaven. And I thought it was interesting that Moses gets to scatter ashes.
And by the way, do you have an idea about this? This is kind of nagging at me. Why haven't they arrested Moses or put him in prison or something like that? It seems like he's able to just freely come before Pharaoh and do these dramatic things and horrible things happen afterwards. Any idea?
That's a great question. I would have thrown him in the deepest, darkest prison after the 2nd plague, I think.
Right? Like shoot him or something?
Yeah, but it's a good question. I just think because this whole story about the plagues is about God's sovereignty, that even though Pharaoh's heart is hard, he's not able to make the decision to arrest him.
Sure.
That's what I'm thinking.
All right. So he tells Moses to come take ashes from a furnace, so specifically ashes, scatters it towards the heavens
in the sight of Pharaoh. Right.
And then it will become fine dust in all the land of... So this handful of ash will become fine dust in all the land of...
You think the
Lord
is doing a creation out of nothing again here?
Yeah.
And it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt.
Yeah, these boils, you could call them sores, blisters. They were skin inflammations that became swollen. And the worst part is they were very painful.
Yeah.
And guess what chronic pain does to your whole attitude?
I get grumpy.
I get grumpy if I just have a little one, you know.
Sure.
Well, isn't this the issue that Job had? Wasn't it boils that Job had?
Yeah.
And he was despairing of life. He was like, I'm ready to go.
Exactly.
Just take me, Lord.
This is a horrible plague because it will just destroy your... If it's chronic.
Sure.
And if it's very painful. The impression from the passage here is that people and animals don't just get one boil at a time.
Yeah.
You get...
They're covered.
Covered. Maybe dozens of boils, and every one of them is excruciatingly painful.
And so now this plague is not something external to them. It's not happening like, oh, there's a frog in my bed or my sheep died. This is something that's not even on them, but coming out from within them.
You know,
they're being personally, directly attacked.
Their personal health is being attacked here.
Yeah.
And that is way, way more involved and more, like you say, more personal.
Yeah.
This one affected every Egyptian. And it's fascinating to see how the Lord progressively makes these plagues more miserable to the people in Egypt to get their attention.
Now, in terms of Egyptian polytheism, we've seen bull gods, we've seen river gods, we've seen frog gods, we've seen sand gods. Don't tell me, David, you're not going to tell me there's a boil god. Is there a sore god?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
But let me give you a list of the gods that are affected by this. Four of them. The first one you've heard of, Isis.
Oh, yeah.
Goddess of medicine. Everybody's afflicted with boils, and the goddess of medicine cannot do anything about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Another, and this is kind of a weird one, Sekhmet, goddess of epidemics and healing.
Oh.
Sometimes considered a warrior goddess.
Okay.
In other words, bringing misery on fellow human beings. Another god of healing is Serapis, and Imhotep is also a god of... In other words, the Egyptians don't have one god for something. They have
right.
several with little minor differences between these. But these Egyptian gods and goddesses could not heal the people shows there's only one healer. And
right.
that's the point. The Egyptian people, from top to bottom, from Pharaoh to slave,
yeah.
needed to be woken up.
Right.
And the only way to do that, unfortunately, because of their ignorance and lack of attention, is to cause pain.
Pharaoh's heart has become harder and harder and harder. You said it's heavier and heavier and heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And God needs to break him out of that stubbornness.
Correct.
And so this is a particularly dramatic and painful plague. What's the time frame here? This isn't like, you know, Monday's plague, Tuesday plague, Wednesday plague. How much time is being spent here?
Nobody knows, but I'm thinking they probably happened in pretty rapid succession. It wasn't like the end of one plague, the next day, the next plague starts.
Is it over weeks, do you think?
It's probably over weeks.
Yeah.
There may be some lag time, but since it doesn't say anything in the text, that's pure guesswork. I'm not going to be dogmatic on
it. It's because I'm asking because it says here there's sores on man and beast, and I'm just wondering who the beasts are because the livestock have all just died. Did they have time to raise up new cattle? I mean, I don't know.
See, that's one of the things, that there's a lag between one of the plagues and another, meaning months.
Yeah.
And that's possible, but there is nothing in the text that would give us any kind of indication whether these are in rapid succession or there's maybe a couple of months, maybe several months lag time between them. We just don't know.
We don't know. Now, in the other plagues, God began to make a difference between Israel and Egypt. He'd be afflicting the Egyptians, protecting Israel. In this one, it doesn't talk about the difference. It just says this is happening in all the land of Egypt. It's happening on, but it's not. It doesn't specifically say it's happening in Goshen, which is where the Israelites
That's
are.
That's right.
So can we assume that they're protected? Or
I do assume that they are protected, even though it doesn't say that.
I just have a quick comment on Sean's point about the beasts. If you notice, look down, for example, in the seventh plague with the hail in verse 19, again, they have livestock, and they need to be brought in so the hail doesn't destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the point would be, in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, the word all doesn't always mean 100%.
That's right.
It often means a large number.
Right.
And
correct.
So it doesn't mean, for example, that every one of the fish in the Nile died when we were reading that, or it doesn't mean that every single beast in the land died, but it was a large number. But since they come up again, when, like, you bring up the beasts and then later on it talks about the livestock again, well, clearly they didn't all die unless you have years in between the plagues.
Right.
And there's no hint of that.
Right. That's one thing I want to point out, too, is look at verse 11. The magicians could not stand before Moses
yeah.
because of the boils. In other words, the boils were on the magicians as well.
Right.
They couldn't even keep themselves safe.
Yeah. Not only are they not replicating this, they're being tormented
by it.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, we have kind of a turn in the story. We've talked about this in previous episodes. In verse 12,
mm-hmm.
here's what we read. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. In previous encounters, Pharaoh was hardening his heart, and then it just kind of blandly says in the last plague, his heart was hardened, and we're not sure who did the hardening. But now in verse 12, the Lord is hardening the heart of Pharaoh. And so that's kind of, now the Lord is actively doing this. Why do you think there's a change between Pharaoh doing it and now the Lord doing it?
I think my opinion, this is pure opinion,
yep.
is that Pharaoh is on the edge of going along with the program.
Ah.
And at this point in the process, the Lord is saying, no, it's not time yet. I got to do other stuff before
yep.
Pharaoh. I think it's interesting, too, and I have a note here that This word hardened in verse 12 is a different Hebrew word than the one in the previous plagues.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the previous plagues, it's the word that literally means to be heavy.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, the word for holiness.
Is this kavod?
Kavod. Because back then, something that was valuable was heavy, like gold and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But in this context, to be heavy means unresponsive and stubborn.
Yeah.
This is another Hebrew word that means to be strong. Uh-huh. And in other words, strong is in the sense of resistant to what's going on. So there's a little bit of difference in the type of hardening going on here.
Well, that's interesting. So even more resistant. God has a point to make. It's almost as if God had given them, maybe they at least had a chance to change their mind, but now God is like, no, now we're going to see this thing through.
Yeah.
You're going to learn your lesson.
Well, and notice the very ending of it. Each time we're hearing, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses,
yes,
what he had spoken is Pharaoh's going to resist. Pharaoh's going to resist. Not that about the hardening, but the resistance of Pharaoh. Yeah. Pharaoh wasn't going to let him go right away. And so even that should have all been a testimony to Moses, Aaron, and the people of Israel. God told them in advance what was coming.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, let me make one more point, and this is a tough one, too, because what does it say about the Lord's character? Well, we saw in the previous one with the anthrax, so to speak,
right,
you know, that the Lord was sovereign over animal life. This shows that the Lord is sovereign over human life. Mm. And in my opinion, that's tough, because this plague, he is sovereign over health and sickness. And we, you know, when we see friends or relatives that are struggling, you know, we have to keep in mind, and actually for me it's a source of comfort, the Lord is in charge.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, yes, we see him and we're sad, but the fact that the Lord, there's a reason for it, and we need to realize that that he is in control, and we don't need to lose our faith over it, because some people do at that point.
David, thank you very much for being with us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated, because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org.
Tomorrow on the program, we're going to continue our talk about the 10 plagues with David Renfro as we look at hail. So join us for that.
I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.